The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's Word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, responding today to several different letters. The first is a question that has come to me on a number of occasions. Why do I use different versions of the Bible? And here's a letter from one who is very disturbed by that. She says, "To a wonderful help, a person I highly respect and listen to almost every day. Your programs have been a great influence on me ever since I found you on," and she gives the place on the station. "My love for you and your work is beyond expression. But one point is bringing me to tears. And I know you're my elder, and you know more about the Lord in your little finger than I do in my whole body. But for months, every time I hear you exhort Christians to read the new versions of the Bible, I just almost break down and cry. My heart is crushed. I know there are many versions of the Bible, and we don't serve a book, but the God of the Bible. But the new versions leave out words like Holy Spirit, Christ, Jesus. When you leave out the main characters of a book, what are you leaving out elsewhere? When Holy Spirit, Christ, and Jesus are left out, what is their foundation built on? And could it not just be one way of distorting the truth and the devil's way of splitting the thoughts of God's people, causing confusions? Were the old versions so hard to understand, or has the devil found a way to get God out of our influence, our thoughts? He told the partial truth to Eve. He told the partial truth to Jesus." She's speaking now of the devil. Why would he want us to have the truth nowadays? And she gives me a long list of scriptures that she wants me to look up in the new versions. And she says this is by no means all. To her, these are very serious questions. And so I'll read you my reply. "Thank you for your recent letter, which came to me through Gateway to Joy. I'm so sorry to know that you are disturbed about the use of different versions of the Bible. I happen to have been on the committee that put together the New International Version, and am acquainted with many of the translators. None is attempting to grind an axe. Some of the differences between the King James and the newer versions are due to the fact that more ancient manuscripts have been discovered since the King James Bible was translated. These new discoveries are more authentic, contain fewer clerical errors, and in no way, so far as I can see, are doing despot to the names of God. I can't help wondering what you imagine the hundreds of Bible translators around the world are doing in other languages. Do you suppose that they are translating from the King James Version? Certainly they would not be. If they are Greek and Hebrew scholars, they would be using that, presumably. Most of them would have to be translating from their mother tongue and attempting to give the equivalent meaning in the tribal language, which seldom can be done literally. And let me just interject an example. If a Norwegian missionary, for example, goes to a tribe in Africa that has an unwritten language, his job would be to write down the language, to create an alphabet, and then proceed to translate the Bible into that African language. The Norwegian would be reading his Norwegian Bible. Now, perhaps he would also read Greek and Hebrew, but not all translators know the original languages. I find it very baffling to figure how people who think that the King James Version is in some way inspired, how they would look at Bible translation in other languages. And having been a Bible translator myself in primitive languages, and not being a Hebrew scholar at all, I certainly had to use different versions of the Bible in order to find equivalents in the native languages. The last paragraph in my letter to this lady: yours is not the first letter that I have had from listeners who are very disturbed. Perhaps in the fairly near future, I will be able to do a program on this to try to put your fears at rest. As you probably have noticed, I refer to other versions at times, but I don't name them. I don't want to cause any more confusion than necessary, but I have been greatly helped myself by using many different versions. I have a whole shelf of Bibles right over my typewriter, along with my concordance, and it helps me greatly to see different facets of the truth that can be found in different versions. If the names of God are left out in some places where they occurred in the King James Version, it's only because the pronoun is used instead of the name itself. And when I said in my letter that the translators are not trying to grind their own axe, I simply meant that they were not purposefully denying the identity of God and the three persons of the Trinity. The encouraging reports from listeners, of course, far outnumber criticisms, and I do thank you for both kinds. My purpose is to love God and to help others to love Him, to know Him, and obey Him, and to find their gateway to joy. Every experience, I believe, if offered to Jesus, can be our gateway to joy. One practical result of a woman's learning to accept her husband's wisdom is illustrated by another letter that I have here. She says, "We just packed up on TV and VCR and movies, and by the Lord's strength, we are TV-less. We really only did videos. But then my husband has always wanted to go without those, and I've always pleaded. I needed those 27 minutes of hypnotized Isaac while watching Peter Rabbit. But after reading Me, Obey Him, and praying for the push to just do it, we did. And you know what, Elizabeth? It's wonderful. Even though we felt it was not the center of our home, it really did affect my parenting. Now, when the boys are driving me crazy, I sit down and read them a story rather than popping a movie in. I had convinced myself that my husband was asking too much, but I am actually much happier, and for the first time realized that I was at home with my children. But my heart was not turned toward my children. The Lord is so kind to us and merciful. My life was hardly terrible with TV and videos, but I'm just beginning to see the difference of a life surrendered totally to the Lord and to my husband. The Lord does want to bless us. I am in no way saying that TV is to be banned by all, but I was not being obedient to my husband, to his desire to have no TV. So, well, I'd better sign off. I know your mail stack is high." The book that she referred to, Me, Obey Him, is about submission, that difficult question. If you're interested in knowing about the book that changed this lady's life, it's a very thin book written by Elizabeth Rice Hanford. The response to my reading of that book on the air has been absolutely tremendous, and almost all of it extremely positive. I have had letters from I don't know how many people telling me that their lives have been changed. So I'm glad. Now a letter from a man who lives 3 hours from Memphis who wonders where the true women are, those who are willing to live under the authority of the Lord and His Word. And this is what he says. "I find that many single Christian women in the United States do not want a man who puts Jesus first and upholds the truths of God's Word. I have been very frustrated in my dating efforts. I know that you teach submission because that is what God's Word says, and I am so glad that not all Christian women believe that the biblical teachers were for that time and not applicable to today. It would be nice to date just one Christian woman who does not try to tempt me into petting and other things. I must admit that sometimes I feel that I must be doing something wrong, or maybe I am too set in my belief that God's Word is the final authority on all. I have been told that I am arrogant for believing that only men are to be pastors in the church. I have heard every kind of twist on the subject and have been belittled because I'm scared of strong-willed women. Not the strong-willed, but the rebellious. I trust that God's Word means what it says. I lost my fiancé over these matters. Where are the godly women? Well, yes, of course, I know that there are thousands of godly women, women of God. I know them. I hear from them. And no, I'm not managing a dating service. But I am specifically asking God to bring the true men together with the true women in some way other than dating. And it is true that there are women out there who are tempting men. Usually we blame the men for leading women into temptation. But you men know, and we women also know very well, that there are the women who know nothing of modesty and reticence and mystery and dignity of bearing and leaving the choice of a husband in God's hands. I can only pray for you men who are looking for a wife that God will bring you together. And I pray for the women. May God fulfill your desires in the way that best glorifies Him.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.